So without further ado, you're in for a treat this morning as we kick off our new series, The Journey of Faith. Please welcome Pastor Kerry.
Thanks, Craig. Good morning, church. How are you this morning? It's good. It's all right. My wife's away this morning. She sends her... I'm in the back toilet somewhere. I'm booming, I think. I'm all right. Okay. All right. Yeah, my wife sends her her love and apologies not here this morning. She's away with my two daughters, having a girls' weekend away before Cara goes over to the States for 30 months and she left me behind. But that's okay. I'll have my time sooner or later. But I just want to say this week has been a real up and down week, and it's been coming into a series. I just want to share with you the life of a pastor. When I'm doing this series, attacks come in, and I was speaking to another colleague of mine during the week, and he says, "Have you got your congregation to pray for you?" So I'm asking you over the next 4 weeks, can you just set aside a couple of minutes to pray for me? Pray for protection and just pray for wisdom over me while I'm doing this series, because the enemy doesn't want this word to be spoken this morning or it's the next 4 weeks. And a lot of things have been coming in. And I don't want to, you know, alarm you or anything. It's okay, but I'm strong in the Lord. And remain strong in the Lord, but you know, sometimes you just think, back off, hairy legs, give me a break, and I'm focused on this, all right? So let me just pray. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, for this congregation, your congregation. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for a spirit of revelation in every heart and mind and soul in this room. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for what you're doing. And over the next 4 weeks, I pray supernatural protection over each member here this morning. That, Lord, as they grow in faith, as that mustard seed cracks open in their hearts, Lord, and their faith arises, Lord, I just pray protection upon them. But, Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your protection. We just pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name, we said. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to read you a story, and it's quite a significant story. Okay, it starts off, as a 15-year-old, and there's a picture of this lady here, it's a true story. As a 15-year-old girl in 1927, it's 93 years ago, Lois Prater promised God she'd go overseas as a missionary, perhaps to Africa or India, to help the needy. At the age of 8, she had read stories of a lady called Lillian Trasher who opened up the first orphanage in Egypt. But Lois never made that trip of mercy. At 23, she married her husband, a handsome man, and became a very heavy drinker. He became a very heavy drinker. Many years later, her husband did become a Christian and then testified about the peace of Jesus to his drinking buddies. But by then, he was almost 80 years old and nearing death. When he died in 1988, Lois's childhood desire of becoming a missionary returned. At first, she resisted. At the age of 76, she felt her opportunity to serve overseas as a missionary had slipped away. I said, "Lord, I'm too old to go now. I can't do this," she admits. But this great-grandmother was determined to fulfill her unforgotten promise. Lois, pricked by the memory of ignoring God's calling as a teenager, would refuse a second chance at becoming a missionary. So in her latter years, Lois Prater sold all her belongings that she had and by faith became the unlikely builder of an orphanage in the Philippines called the King's Garden Children's Home, a lifeline to 35 children whose lives have been rescued from neglect, begging in the streets, street prostitution, and parental abuse. Lois's children, as they call them, ranged in ages from 8 months to 10 years. All of their stories were heartbreaking. Lois had built the orphanage without taking a loan, relying instead of God's word for her. She wasn't supported by any denomination and depended solely on private donations. When asked if that made her nervous, she then said confidently, "I serve a mighty God. He's in control. I feel I'm not talented enough to do any of this, but God enables me. My responsibility is to do what I can." Lois went to be with the Lord in 2013 when she was 100 years old. The children's home is still operating today on a 12-acre piece of land, which hundreds of children, ranging from 8 months old to 17, have gone through, offering each child a loving environment, education, and teaching about God's love for them. Here is a person who has heard the call of God on their life and finally acted on it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's never, ever too late. Never too late. She pursued that dream. She overtook her fear and recovered her promise to God to do what God laid on her heart when she was 15 years old. It's never too late. She advanced the kingdom at 76 years of age and did so for 24 years. Welcome to this four-part series on faith, called The Journey of Faith. Here we will explore what it's like to live by faith. And this sermon is called The Call of Faith. And the granddaddy of faith is another person who heard that call many, many years ago and was Abraham, formerly Abram. And he is a perfect example of someone who learned to relate to God by faith. And everyone who sets out on a faith venture follows in his exact footsteps. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at the life of Abraham and learning from his experience what it means to live by faith. This week, we want to talk specifically about the responding to God's call. Have any of you been called by God? You've all been called by God. Every single one of you who profess to be children of God. In your outline, let's start. Have you got your outline with you this morning? You can use that. God calls us to listen. The word there is listen. And I pray this morning that you'll be listening. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in my lounge room when Sally, looking beautifully, walked into the lounge room and said, "Do you have any idea what I was just saying to you?" Has anyone ever heard that in your lounge room?
No.
Well, to her surprise and her consternation, I was able to recite back every single word that she was telling me. Hey, how's that? Glad she's not here. But there have been many, many other times when that happened, when I wasn't able to do that because I wasn't really listening at all. Sometimes it's like that with God, isn't it? There are times when I've been in a worship service or reading a Bible or even enjoying the creation around me when it's been easy to hear from God. Then there are other times when it doesn't seem I'm able to hear his voice at all. And while there could be a number of reasons for this, normally it's because I'm either not listening for God or not expecting to hear his voice. In Luke 8:18, it says, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Consider carefully how you listen. Now, I only know one way for surefire, that the way to hear from God for me is very practical and very simple. And I'll share that with you right now. Each morning I get up and I pray, God, open my eyes to see, open my ears to hear, and open my heart to listen what you have to say to me today. Every morning I pray that prayer. And then everything you do throughout the day, ask, is God in this? Now, we don't want to get weird about this, all right? And start thinking that the fridge or the TV is starting to give us a secret message or something. Or being late for work because God hasn't told you what to wear. All right, that does happen. Some people do that. The idea is simply to live in expectation that God has something to say. In reading the Word of God, I have a strong sense that this is how Abraham lived his life. Ready to hear from God and ready to act upon what he heard. Let's go to number two. God calls us to separation. The key word there is separation. God calls us to separation. You know, the Lord initiates every spiritual faith venture, that the venture begins with the divine call to separation. Okay, you've got to get this. This is going to be pretty hard for some people to get into you. So take notes and just ask for that revelation. See, when we step out in faith, God is not just asking us to accomplish something for Him, but He's asking that our lives be radically changed in different ways. And these changes that He calls for involve that He knew for something completely unknown to Him. See, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, leave your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. Now, let's put this in perspective. Suppose God came to you today and said, leave this community. Leave your family that is there. Leave your home behind. Leave all your mates, quit your job, and start heading in the direction I point you. I'm not going to tell you where you're going just yet, but I want you to go now. How would you deal with that? If you're automatically saying to yourself, I wouldn't do it, then ask yourself if you're really willing to listen to God's call. Now, I'm not saying that God is calling each one of us to leave these things behind, but He very well might be. Do you trust God in everything? Do you listen to God in everything? For instance, even if God was calling us to leave our home and family behind, He certainly is calling us to separate from certain lifestyle choices. And that's a fact. And I know that is one of the hardest things to do, but it is so rewarding when you do. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 and 16 says, obey God because you are His children. What does it say? Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be His children, is holy. For He Himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. That's the Word of God right there. You know, this week I took my day off and I took some time out just for me. And I went down to Woodman Point for about 4 hours, and I threw three rods down there, and I just threw them in. I put some bait on it, and you know what? I actually said, Lord, I hope I don't catch anything. Just, can you imagine it? With three, and I just sat there, and there was a bunch of guys there. There was a bunch of guys there just fishing from Rockingham that had come up, and they were fishermen. And these guys had been there since 1:30 in the morning. And I got there at 9:30 and they had no bites. And there were some scuba divers scuba diving underneath, scaring all the fish away. And I tell you what, the language that came from these four guys was unbelievable. Every second and third word were the bombs. It was horrible. But that's what I used to be like. I used to sound like that. And God reminded me that through his help, I'd put that language behind me. I was about to say something when that actual verse came and hit me. They don't know any better. They don't. They don't know any better. They don't know about being holy or self-control or respect of others. So I just let them go. So what does it mean in practical terms for us as Christians? It means that if I formerly had a problem with porn or adultery or anything else, I'm going to put that behind me. That's what God's calling you to do. He's calling us to separate ourselves from the things that had control over us, and now that we are his children, he's saying separate from that. If I had a problem with drinking or drugs or swearing, with God's help, I will not have that problem anymore. It means that if I lived a life without love, I'm going to allow God to transform me to be a person who loves others as Jesus does. In short, it means that I'm going to dedicate myself to put on the holiness that God himself has demonstrated for me. It is a matter of getting prepared and preparing for the journey. I'm not saying it's going to happen straight away. Some people it does, but it's a journey for a lot of us. Did I stop swearing straight away? Actually, as a matter of fact, yes, I did. I was known in the hills as a real gutter mouth. It was horrible. Even when I see people today, my old friends, they go, "Oh, well, you're not swearing." They actually say that. And I can go, "No, I'm not. I don't swear anymore." But there's other things in my life that I'm still journeying through. But with God's help, you'll get through it. But that's what God's calling us to do, is to put that aside. Be holy. You know better. Some of you know better. But you're choosing one foot here, one foot there. You're choosing. Stop choosing. You know what is better. Until I'm separated from anything that would hinder me, I'm not going to be ready for God's call. That does not mean that I don't associate with non-believers or get into a conversation like I did with these fishermen. Actually, one of them actually asked me, "Oh, what do you do?" I said, "Pastor," on my fishing shirt, P-A-S-T-A. He goes, "Is that your name, Pastor?" I said, "Yeah, it's actually I'm a reverend or a pastor church." And he goes, "Oh," it just kept on going. But he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know that when you come up to a what they people call a man of God or a pastor or a reverend, that you don't swear. He doesn't know that. He's never been taught that. He just kept on going. I mean, I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, if only if my parishioners were here, they would pummel you and throw you over the water. But I hope you wouldn't. I hope you wouldn't. But notice that Abraham couldn't see the new life that God had prepared for him until he separated himself from his old life. And I think that's what we've got to do too. We've got to separate ourselves from our old life. For some, like Abraham, that separation is from a physical place. But for all of us, it requires a separation from those things in the world that keep us from fully experiencing the presence of God in our lives. You know, for a time, I had to separate myself from my old life. I actually had to leave my old friendships until I was strong enough to be used by God to be an influencer instead of being influenced or tempted by others to do wrong. And trust me, it took me a while. It took an elder man to come to me and say, Kerry, you've got to get out of that to receive that. You can't remain in there until you've got full strength in the Lord. Then you can go back there and influence those your mates. And you know what? Now that's what I'm doing. And that's what God calls us to do. I can't move forward in faith if I'm longingly looking backward to my former life. And a lot of us do that. Ah, the good old days. And I can't see where God is going to take me until I leave the place that I'm presently living. I cannot hear God's voice until I begin to truly listen. And I cannot act upon his call until I'm willing to leave behind whatever is necessary to pursue the better future he has planned for me. This is always true in the journey of faith. Number three, God calls us to service. Okay, nudge the person next to you. Wake up, come on, listen to this one. When we talk about a journey of faith, we are talking about God calling us to do a specific thing or to perform a specific ministry. In other words, the journey of faith isn't going to church. It's not reading the Bible or having a daily quiet time. It is serving in whatever capacity God has called us to. And doing that from the standpoint that we trust in God to give us the ability and the resources to see it through. See, what I'm trying to steer you away from is the cheapened view of faith that just says that we need to believe in the right things. That's what's being preached in a lot of churches today. You just need to believe in the right things. It's rubbish. What God is calling us to is a life of servanthood whereby we actually are acting on the faith that he has called us to. Consider what he told Abraham. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he says, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And I will make you a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, if you're like me, I tend to focus on the blessings that God promised. Abraham would be the father of a great nation. He would be famous and he would bless others, etc., etc. But how was all that going to happen? Was God saying that he was just going to wave his hand and go, Alakazam, and everything would fall into place? No, not at all. And some Christians think that that's what's meant to happen. Don't be fooled. And we know that because of Abraham's story in Genesis. God would do all things he promised, but he would do them as a result of Abraham's willingness to serve in a way that God asked him to. It is important for us to understand this, that God didn't call Abraham because he was great. God called him because he was going to make him great. And the reason God could make him great was because Abraham was willing to listen, he was willing to separate himself, and he was willing to serve. In Matthew 20, 25, 27 from the Message Bible, it says, "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave." Let me put it this way. If you're not willing to serve others, if you're not willing to clean up after a meal, if you're not willing to stack the chairs or put them out, if you're not willing to help the needy, if you're not willing to be generous, if you're not willing to pray for the person that's really sick or dying of a terminal disease, then you're not ready for a great journey of faith that God wants to call on you. You're not ready. These things are simply examples that I'm giving you, okay? But the point is that God's call of faith is a call to serve. And that call is served, a call to service is not always a pretty one. But it is a call that will grow, it is a call that will multiply, and it will receive the blessing of God Himself when you do so. You know, I was brought up with my parents, they always taught me to say, "Yes, sir, no, sir," to anyone in authority and do things with a happy heart and do the best things of all my strength. And you know what? Doors opened for me as I got older. Blessings came my way. Now, let's not be mistaken. I didn't do these things because I wanted a reward. It was just what it was taught. It was a godly character. And I can give you a testimony after testimony after testimony that this is God's character and it does work. Blessings do come. If you follow His ways. That's why I love this word. It's so rich of how to do life well. And looking back, God has used me for His glory and continues to do so. All glory goes to God. Number four, God calls us to security. He calls us to security. God promised to take care of Abraham in his journey of faith. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." Now, Abraham might have assumed that God's call meant his life was going to be E-A-S-Y, easy. But it certainly wasn't. Security isn't tranquility and ease, okay? It is stability in the midst of life's storms. A long series of events in Abraham's life clearly demonstrates that God's protection does not shield us from all of life's harsh realities. When Abraham reached the promised land, he discovered that it was populated by a large number of tribes that were in plague and in famine. Famine drove him to Egypt where because of his Sarah's fear of his life, they agreed to be dishonest about their relationship. And they agreed to tell everyone that Sarah was his sister to keep Abraham safe. Now that was true. That was true because she was his half-sister. But she was also his wife. See, they told the truth, but only a half-truth. Which, ladies and gentlemen, is a lie. A half-truth is a lie. You know, it says the truth will set you free. It doesn't say a half-truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Who's the truth? Jesus. Don't lie. One of the commandments, do not lie. See, the lie was discovered and Abraham was forced to leave the country. Sarah, and perhaps Abraham, grew tired of waiting of God to fulfill the promises of a child. So Abraham fathered a son, Ishmael, by Hagar, Sarah's maid. Finally, when Abraham was 100, Isaac was born to Sarah. Conflict erupted between Sarah and Hagar over the children. Life ain't easy in this house. Hagar and Ishmael were dismissed from the family, even though it really distressed Abraham. Later, God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Gee, life's getting really easy, which he was willing to do, but we know God stepped in at the last minute and stopped him. At last, Abraham watched his beloved Sarah die. Now, does that sound like God might not have been watching over Abraham? He was. Every step of the way. Through every problem, God proved faithful and kept Abraham safe. God never let Abraham go, not even for a moment. And God will never, ever let go of you, not for a moment. God delivered Abraham from Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. Abraham was victorious in a battle with four kings over the east who had defeated and looted the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God brought Abraham through the crisis with the Philistine king Abimelech. In the time Abraham became the wealthiest man in the land, God blessed him with a son in his old age and made him a great nation. God doesn't call you to a life of luxury and ease. He calls us to listen. He calls us to separation. He calls us to service and security in a trouble-filled world that we live in. Remember, we are not of this world. And as you take your journey of faith, this same God, our God, the God of Abraham, is watching over you 24/7. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He doesn't promise that he doesn't promise you that the journey will be easy or that it will always be pleasant. But he does promise you this. He will be there with you every step of the way. Julie, can I just have you, not the worship team, I'm not going to finish on a song, but I'm just going to do something. As we close, I want you to return briefly to our first point of listening to God's call. Because I believe right now, at this very moment, God is trying to get through to some of you. But until you're willing to really sit back and hear what he has to say, you will not be able to begin the journey of faith. Remember my vision of God cracking open that mustard seed? Well, I believe he's doing it right now. I want you to ask God today to open your heart and mind to hear what God is saying to you. Seek him first and then pursue what he wants you to do. Listen to that voice. You know the voice. It's that voice of saying, Kerry, don't do that. I've got an out for you. You can do this, but don't do that. I want you to just bow your heads right now. Just take a moment. And I want you to lay down right now, whatever it is that you know is not pleasing to God. It might be the way you speak to your spouse. It might be the way you speak to your children. It might be the way you speak to your parents. It might be the things that you watch on the internet. It might be the tax evasion. might be always thinking about money and how I can get money or might be I want to stop gossiping. Or you know the times when you hear that voice saying, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You should have just shut your mouth. And hear that voice. Just ask God now, what should I do in this situation? And if you hear a voice that says, don't worry about it, then that's the wrong voice you're listening to. But God will give you a way out. I believe God's saying right now to some of you, this is the way you do it. You do it my way. You speak good things. You don't need to watch that to get pleasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Use this time to soak in. Use this time to hear from God. This is probably the only time for many of you to sit quietly. Thank you, Jesus. Then ask God, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to separate from? You know the things. Lord, what is it you want me to separate from? Heavenly Father, what is it you want me to do in your kingdom? How do you want me to serve you? What is the best way I can serve you? Some that may not be pretty. Think you've got time. What's your heart desire? Are you saying, I'm too old for that? I'm too old to do that? You're never too old. Father, help us to bless others. Help us to listen. Help us to serve. Hallelujah. But Lord, today I draw a line in the sand and I say, Lord, no more. I want to serve you. I want to be sold out for you. And I want my faith to crack open. I want my faith to increase from today. And Lord, I need your help in everything that I do, everything that I say. Not by my power, but by your Holy Spirit power. Help me. Help me to be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better child. Help me to see with your eyes. Help me to hear with your ears. And help me to speak with your heart and understand you better with my heart. Lord, I just pray for each and every one of them here today. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as you speak to them, let their ears be so attentive to your voice. Lord, I know that each and every one of these people in this room, Lord, you want to make great. So I speak that over each and every one of you. God wants to make you great in his kingdom. But you got to listen. We thank you for your word, for the great stories of Abraham. We thank you for his life, Lord, that you put down in the book of life, Lord, so that we can learn and just learn from it that way. Lord, I pray as we go out this week, Lord, we'll seek you first. Lord, that we'll pursue after things of you only. Lord, that we'll overtake our fears and we'll overtake, Lord, the things that have been holding us back for so long. I thank you in advance right now for the recovery, that we will recover those things. We will recover, Lord, greatness, hallelujah, in your kingdom. Lord, forgive us for all those things, those things that we have done that is not pleasing to you. Help us, guide us, strengthen us every step of the way. Because we just want to glorify you in everything that we do. We all said, amen.